You're listening to Valley Edition. I'm Kathleen Schock. As the COVID-19 caseload continues to drop in our communities, the opposite has been happening inside Avenal State Prison, where hundreds of incarcerated men still have active infections. So what is the prison doing about it? And what has the experience been for men on the inside? Here to answer these questions and more is FM89 health reporter Carrie Klein with our weekly COVID-19 update. Welcome, Carrie.
Hi, thanks, Kathleen.
So first, let's zoom out to the region as a whole. What's the COVID-19 outlook for the San Joaquin Valley this week?
So it's continuing to look better and better, which is good news. Our new cases, our deaths, our hospitalizations are all down from last week. But trending downward doesn't mean solved. At least 50 people still have died of the disease in the last week. There are still hundreds in the hospitals. So as many health officials have said this week, this is still no time to let your guard down. And I also wanted to give a brief update on what we talked about last week during this update in Valley Edition. We talked about kind of a data dilemma in Kern County, in which administrators there felt that they were unfairly penalized by kind of an algorithm that was adjusting case rates and holding Kern back in the most restrictive category of Governor Newsom's reopening plan. Well, this week, Kern County, their board of supervisors voted on a resolution to demand that Newsom change that.
And how are we all doing when it comes to Newsom's reopening guidelines, what he calls the blueprint for a safer economy?
Well, still here in the San Joaquin Valley, we're not doing great. So a reminder about what this blueprint is, it's the new guidelines for reopening, and it is it determines how widespread the disease is in each county, assigns a color code, and then businesses have these restrictions based on the color of the county. Most counties in the valley are still in tier one. It's purple, the most restrictive. That's due to widespread infection. The exception is Mariposa County, which is orange, two tiers ahead of the rest of us. But the blueprint allows for movement between tiers. The rules are a little complicated, but if you meet certain data metrics for two straight weeks, you can advance to the next less restrictive tier. And two counties in our area have already hit 1 week in the next tier. That's Mariposa, which could progress to yellow, and Fresno, which could progress from purple to red. But they need to stay there for one more week in order to actually officially be able to do that. And then each tier, of course, represents the loosening of some restrictions, like some businesses can move back indoors instead of outdoors, or they can allow a higher maximum capacity.
Now, let's turn to the Avenal State Prison. Tell us what's happening with cases there and why that's concerning.
Right. So unfortunately, Avenal State Prison now has the highest cumulative case count of any state prison in California. More than 2,500 inmates have tested positive as of yesterday. Five of them have died, and also more than 250 staff members have been infected. There was a tremendous spike in early June. That's really when the caseload took off. More than 800 people were infected at one time. After that, the case rate dropped dramatically. It was down to as few as 18 people who were infectious at one time in July. Things were looking good. But then in August, cases began to spike again. And as of yesterday, there were more than 240 active cases among inmates.
Why? What's changed?
It's really hard to determine. I've been speaking to inmates who, for their part, they blame employees for bringing the disease in from the public and moving around to various yards within the facility. The California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation, they, of course, say they have lots of protocols in place for screening employees and keeping them home if they're sick. But also inmates are telling me that social distancing just isn't possible. And of course, we heard that from Jake Benitez. I interviewed him for the show a couple months ago. And so when one person gets the disease, they just can't be isolated. And here's Ed Welker. And he says the virus just ripped through his building.
And when I say whole building, I'm talking about approximately 190 inmates. We all got sick at the same time. We all tested positive at the same time.
How bad was Ed Welker's bout with the disease? Was he okay?
Yeah, he turned out totally fine. He says he had a terrible migraine for a few days. He says he's never been so fatigued in his life, but he's recovered now and back on his feet. And it's a similar story with John Walker, who lost his sense of smell and was achy for a few days, but otherwise said the virus didn't hit him very hard. But he says what has been difficult is the moving around. The prison has set up different areas for inmates depending on their test results. And Walker says he was moved somewhere after testing positive, then somewhere else after recovering, then somewhere else, and that officials don't do a great job of communicating when or why they're being moved.
So now I'm on a different yard altogether, now waiting to be shipped back
when they decide that they have the numbers low enough there to ship us back. Super uncomfortable.
So what else are inmates saying?
You know, they talk a lot about what has been lost during this time period, you know, and that includes a lot of enrichment and rehabilitative programs, like college and other education programs like that. Some men have lost their jobs, and that includes Ty Tran, who is something like a janitor.
I'm a porter in the gym. I maintain the gym. I was getting paid, but we don't get paid anymore.
And that's because the gym equipment isn't being used, he says. But in buildings that are being used, other inmates do still have their jobs. Tran says he at least is okay with not working for now because he doesn't want to be exposed to the disease more than he has to be. But otherwise, men are telling me that the rules are rapidly changing. It's confusing. It's chaotic behind bars there. And they really miss their families and spouses. Visitations have been canceled since March. The telephone service is providing some free call days for them. But these men say it's just not the same as seeing faces. And so far, no televisitation has been set up.
And what is CDCR saying?
Well, CDCR won't agree to interviews, but they have answered questions by email. You know, they have really a long list of things that have changed, you know, to protect the prison population, ostensibly. You know, there's a quarantine system that separates those who have tested positive, negative, or who have recovered. That's like what John Walker said earlier. Staff are being tested every 7 days and screened for symptoms at the door. You know, they're doing surveillance testing of inmates, plus they do mass testing when a certain number of people in a housing unit test positive, and that's being done by rapid testing. Results are available within 15 minutes. You know, they say that they're giving N95 masks to all staff that interact with inmates. They've staggered meals, recreation, showers, and phone access to keep inmates from really interacting with other yards too much. But, you know, CDCR also wouldn't answer my question of why cases continue to rise despite all of these safety protocols.
Well, I'm definitely looking forward to hearing more. Carrie, thank you so much for your reporting.
Yeah, thank you.